we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It was a big weekend in African football with qualifying matches for the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations tournament, as well as some spicy international friendly fixtures. Joining us now for a look at some of the highlights is Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. The Gambia and Chad both needed penalties to reach the group phase of qualifying for the 2021 African Cup of Nations. Gambia goalkeeper Modu Jobi was the star of the shootout, saving two Djibouti spot kicks to give his side a 3-2 victory on penalties. In N'Djamena, Chad edged Liberia 5-4 to make it through to Group A of qualifying, where they will face Mali, Guinea and Namibia. South Sudan won the first leg of their tie against Seychelles 2-1, followed it up with a 1-0 victory away from home to go through 3-1 on aggregate. The South Sudanese will face Burkina Faso, Uganda and Mali in Group B. Sao Tome and Principe followed up their famous 3-1 first leg victory away to Mauritius with a 2-1 victory in their home leg to go through 5-2 overall. The Falcons will be in Group C of qualifying for the 2021 Nations Cup alongside Ghana, South Africa and Sudan. The first two rounds of group matches are scheduled for November 11th to November 19th.
Prince, how about some updates on those spicy international friendly matches involving African teams?
Of course, Sonny. Kanyembe Amancio came off the bench to score the winner as the Mambas of Mozambique stunned Harambee Stars of Kenya 1-0 in a friendly match played at the Kasarani Stadium. Amancio capitalized on Joseph Okumu's 71st-minute defensive blunder to inflict the defeat on the hosts. A Dean Farman penalty and a well-taken goal from Themba Zwane ensured Bafana Bafana gave their new coach Molefi Nteki the perfect start to his tenure by beating Mali 2-1 in their friendly international to lift the Nelson Mandela Challenge title in Port Elizabeth. Bafana were happy to emerge victorious against the Eagles as their first meeting with Mali resulted in a 2-0 quarterfinal loss at the 2002 African Cup of Nations. Arsenal speedster Nicolas Pepe, Crystal Palace forward Wilfred Zaha and Wilfred Kenon all recorded their names on the score sheet as the Elephants of Ivory Coast hammered the Red Devils of the Democratic Republic of Congo 3-1, while Togo came from behind to hold Equatorial Guinea to a 1-1 draw in France. Justin Shonga twice gave Zambia the lead against Benin in Porto Novo, but Michael Pott salvaged a 2-2 draw for the home side with a stoppage time goal. The Flames of Malawi also snatched a 1-1 draw away to the Crocodiles of Lesotho in Maseru, with Hassan Kajoke scoring 2 minutes from time after Lompo Kalake had put the home team ahead.
Prince, in Singapore, Nigeria and Brazil played to a 1-1 draw. This high-profile friendly came 3 days after the Brazilians played to another 1-1 draw with Senegal in Singapore. Prince, can you break down the scoring for us in the Nigeria-Brazil match?
The Nigerians took a deserving 35th-minute lead when Rangers midfielder Joe Aribo seized on to Moses Simon's pass, weaved past Marquinhos to slam a shot beyond Ederson for his second international goal in as many games before Casemiro leveled things up for the South Americans. The West Africans' last meeting with Brazil ended in a 3-0 defeat in front of their home fans in Abuja in 2003. Tunisian Cameroon played out a 0-0 draw in Rades, while El Fadou Ben Mohamed was the hero for Comoros as the Le Koliakantes defeated Guinea 1-0 in Versailles, France. Emmanuel Arnold Okwi also recorded his name on the score sheet as the Uganda Cranes snatched a 1-0 away win against the Walians of Ethiopia in a game that was played at Bahevda Stadium.
Prince, I understand there are still a couple of African international friendly fixtures coming up.
That's right, Sonny. Record 7-time African champions Egypt will host Botswana on Monday, while 2019 Cup of Nations winners Algeria will face Colombia in France on Tuesday. Elsewhere, Arsenal star Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who recently ended his self-imposed exile, will take to the pitch for his country on Tuesday against Morocco in Tangiers. The 30-year-old, who says he's determined to change the image Gabon's fans have of him, made his debut for Gabon in March 2009 and has gone on to become their leading marksman in history, with 25 goals in 60 international appearances. The matches are being used to prepare teams for the first two rounds of qualifying during November for the 2021 Cup of Nations in Cameroon. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. For reaction to Nigeria's 1-1 draw with Brazil and Singapore, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with a sports analyst and director of Digital Sports Africa, Emeka Inyadike.
I think it was a very, very, very interesting game. A friendly game, but I think it was very, very competitive. Brazil had full measure of their, you know, formidable squad. Neymar, though he was injured a bit earlier, but they had Ederson, they had Coutinho, they had Firmino, they had Gabriel Jesus, they had Casemiro, they had Thiago and Marquinhos. This was a really solid Brazilian team. And so what a test it was for this young Nigerian team. And I think that 1-1, decent result for Nigeria.
On Thursday, Brazil also played 1-1 with Senegal. What do you think is the philosophy behind playing these friendlies against the top African teams?
I think Brazil has got a very decent sponsorship package that allows them to play games around the world, and this helps them to build their fan base. But they've also been playing against really top opposition, and, you know, playing against African teams gives them a good test against two African teams, and Senegal against Nigeria, both games ending in 1-1 draws. But tells you also that they do realize that there's very powerful teams in Africa that they need to test themselves against.
For the new boys brought in by Gennaro Raw to replace some of the big names that left the Super Eagles after the AFCON 2019 tournament, how would you assess them? How would you assess the game by this boy? The players, they've played two matches for Nigeria now. Joe Aribo scoring twice for Nigeria. What's your assessment of these new boys?
I think Nigeria's blessed with so much talent. In the last couple of weeks, we've been complaining about players who opted to play for England, like Tomori and Abraham. But you find that with Nigeria, Joe Aribo, a lot of these youngsters who have come through, we've seen Samuel Chukwueze, we've seen a lot of these players who are still taking a claim, because John Obi Mikel and Igalo are two very big players who have retired from the national team. So replacing them, I think Joe Aribo has been just brilliant in that midfield. Not only his goal scoring, but also his overall contribution to the team. And Alex Iwobi hopefully steps into a much more important role in that team. And then we saw the young German-born Maduka Okoye in goal for Nigeria. That's really, really nice to see. And a few other players like Semi Ajayi, playing in that defense. Nigeria's got tremendous talent, and sometimes you wonder the number of players who opt to play for other countries and just how they still find new talent.
For Coach Gennaro, do you think he doesn't need to worry much about getting players who don Nigeria's jerseys for the upcoming AFCON qualifiers?
I'll be quite honest with you. With what I know of the players who are available in Europe, I think there's more Nigerian-born players that they haven't called up. You know, you find there's so much Nigerian talent, both the ones that have moved there to Europe and the ones that were born in Europe. You know, I don't want to be in the position of the coach of Nigeria. I just think sometimes I think the coach is not doing enough to scout these players. There's tremendous talent. Nigeria has got so much talent that we could be on the cusp of producing a team close to what we had in the 90s, where West Ham had to struggle, prune down to 22 players for the World Cup in the USA. This team has got so much talent that give them another 4 or 5 years, they'll be knocking on the door.
That's Emeka Inyadike, a sports analyst and director of Digital Sports Africa. And Emeka spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Hi, my name is Emeka Inyadike from the city of gold, Johannesburg. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
In African athletics, it was a record-breaking weekend for Kenya in the marathon, with big achievements in Vienna and in Chicago. In a special race in Vienna, Olympic champion Eliud Kipchoge became the first person to run the marathon in under 2 hours, clocking 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 40 seconds. Kipchoge holds the official marathon world record of 2 hours, 1 minute, and 39 seconds. His time in Vienna will not count as an official record because he used pacemakers and had other help on the course. Joining us with reaction to Kipchoge's accomplishment is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The day before his race, Eliud Kipchoge received a call from Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta, who told Kipchoge to remember that 46 million Kenyans were behind him, and no truer words have been spoken. Across the country, the people of Kenya gathered together in the wee hours of Saturday morning to watch their native son make history. Thousands upon thousands of residents in Kipchoge's home of Eldoret had their eyes glued to the race that was broadcast on a giant screen mounted in the middle of town. And as they watched him cross the finish line, people danced, chanted his name, and expressed their disbelief at witnessing something they didn't expect to see in their lifetime.
It's honestly, like, it's such a proud moment.
Yeah.
We are super, super proud to be Kenyan.
Yeah, man.
Super, super proud to be Kenyan. We came prepared to cheer him on, and he's done us proud, so we are delighted.
I'll be sharply moving to court on Monday to compel KRA not to tax any single penny from Eliud Kipchoge's prize. I know he has worked hard for it. He has earned it outside the country, and there is no need for the government, Kenyan government, to tax Eliud Kipchoge.
Well, it is not in the public domain just how much money Kipchoge has earned from the 159 challenge. And while his final time will not be entered into the record books, his milestone will forever be in the history books as the greatest achievement in athletics since Britain's Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile in 1954. After the race, Kipchoge said he believes he has paved the way for more athletes to run a marathon in under 2 hours, and he said he hopes he has inspired all people to remember that they too can accomplish anything and no human is limited. Eliud Kipchoge, arguably the greatest marathon runner of all time. There was more for Kenya to celebrate on Sunday when Kenyan Bridget Koske shattered a women's marathon world record at the Chicago Marathon here in the United States. The 25-year-old set a blistering pace from the start to finish with a time of 2 hours, 14 minutes, and 4 seconds, an incredible 81 seconds faster than the 16-year-old world record. And after the win, Koske said even her new world record could be bested with the right preparation.
If a lady can prepare good and they have no injury, no what and what, they could run even 2:14 to reduce even 2 minutes, they can reduce to 2:12 or maybe 1 minute to be 2:13. It's possible for a lady to reduce that minute.
But Koske said her goal was not to finish in record time. She came to run her own race.
Me, I come here to run my own pace. I don't depend on someone. I just look the way to go, but not to look someone. I'm just chasing my time. I want to improve my personal best, so that's why I ran today.
On the men's side, Kenyan long-distance runner Lawrence Chirono sprinted to the Chicago Marathon's finish line in 2 hours, 5 minutes, and 45 seconds to give Kenya yet another reason to celebrate. British defending champion Mo Farah finished that marathon in a disappointing 8th place, clocking his slowest time by more than a minute. Congratulations to all of the athletes for their great achievements And congratulations to Kenya, who had much to celebrate this weekend. More sporty news to come. Sonny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. Kenya definitely had a lot to celebrate in athletics. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, Russia's Daniil Medvedev has won his fourth title of the year in China. Medvedev defeated Germany's Alexander Zverev 6-4 and 6-1 to lift the trophy at the Shanghai Masters. The 23-year-old Medvedev says he was in top form in Shanghai.
Well, here I looked invincible this week since I'm the winner. Because as I say, I don't like to talk about future because you never know what's future got for you. And that's why my answer stays the same. Okay, this week, yes, I probably was invincible. But for the next upcoming weeks, I'm not sure.
Daniil Medvedev is currently number 4 in the men's tennis rankings. Novak Djokovic of Serbia is number 1, followed by Rafael Nadal of Spain at number 2, and Roger Federer of Switzerland at number 3. After winning in Shanghai, Medvedev was asked whether he thinks he can break into the top 3 in 2020 and maybe reach number 1.
To be honest with you, when you ask this question right now, I kind of thought, yeah, I don't have that much points to defend till I would say USA next year. But I'm going to try my best to show great results as I did here. And if something like this is gonna happen, it's just a big bonus.
You might say the tennis fans in Shanghai got a big bonus in the final. A matchup between two of the top young players in the sport. Medvedev is 23 years old and Zverev is 22 years old. Here's how Zverev describes Medvedev's playing style.
He plays very flat. He plays with shots that you can't really do anything with the ball, I feel like. So, and that is difficult to play against him in an aggressive way. Sometimes that's maybe why it looks maybe on TV or from the outside that players are not playing as aggressive against him as against others, but I feel like he doesn't let you. I mean, he's playing well, as I said, on court. He's probably the best player in the world right now.
In more tennis news, 15-year-old American Coco Gauff has won her first WTA Tour title by beating Latvia's Yelena Ostapenko in 3 sets in the Upper Austria Ladies Tournament. The final score from Linz, Austria, 6-3, 1-6, and 6-2. Coco reached the 4th round at Wimbledon this year and 3rd round at the U.S. Open. And in the process, she became a breakout star in women's tennis. And just to put Coco's title in Austria in perspective, 2 of Coco's idols, Venus and Serena Williams, were both 17 years old when they won their first WTA titles.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafoe. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. An update now on the Major League Baseball playoffs. Here in Washington, the Washington Nationals will host the St. Louis Cardinals in Game 3 of the National League Championship Series later Monday night. The Nationals lead the best-of-7 series 2-0 after winning in St. Louis by scores of 2-0 and 3-1. Washington's starting pitchers in those games, Anibal Sanchez and Max Scherzer, were excellent in St. Louis. They combined to give up only 2 hits over 14 and 2/3 innings. 2 right-handed pitchers, Steven Strasburg of Washington and Jack Flaherty of St. Louis, will start game three on Monday night. On Sunday night in Houston, Texas, the 2017 World Series champion Houston Astros beat the New York Yankees 3-2 in 11 innings to even the American League Championship Series at one game each. The AP's Adam Spillane reports from Houston.
The American League Championship Series is all tied up after Carlos Correa smacked an 11th inning walk-off home run, giving the Houston Astros a 3-2 win over the New York Yankees in Game 2.
The adrenaline started pumping like crazy. I don't even know what I did. I got to go watch the video. But I know that I was so hyped. And seeing my teammates running out of the dugout to the home plate while I was still standing there, it was pretty awesome. Obviously, a moment that it's going to live with me forever.
Correa sent Jay Happ's first pitch fastball 394 feet over the right field wall for his second extra base hit of the night. His RBI double in the second inning got the scoring started. Aaron Judge clubbed a two-run homer in the fourth to put the Yankees on top, but George Springer answered with a solo shot in the fifth. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. In National Football League news, the San Francisco 49ers and the reigning Super Bowl champion New England Patriots remain the only unbeaten teams in the league after weekend action. San Francisco beat their California rival, the Los Angeles Rams, on Sunday. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Los Angeles, California.
The 49ers remain unbeaten, going to 5-0 with a 20-7 road win over the Rams. Jimmy Garoppolo threw for 243 yards, and he scored a rushing touchdown, and he was one happy quarterback after the game.
It's always good to be undefeated. You know, it's hard to win games in this league, so whenever you get the opportunity to go out there and win. I mean, we've been taking advantage of it, so it's just, we got to keep this thing going.
Garoppolo's favorite target, tight end George Kittle, had 8 catches for 103 yards, but it was the San Francisco defense that shined, holding Jared Goff to only 78 passing yards, and they sacked him 4 times. After opening with 3 straight wins, LA has now lost 3 in a row. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Well, the field is now set for the quarterfinals at the Rugby World Cup in Japan. There will be 2 quarterfinals on October 19th and 2 more on October 20th. Let's take a quick look at the matchups. On October 19th, England will play the Wallabies of Australia, and Ireland is matched against the 2-time defending champion, All Blacks of New Zealand. On October 20th, Wales will face France, and Japan will host the 2-time world champion Springboks of South Africa at Tokyo Stadium. And we'll have some analysis of that Japan-South Africa match during Tuesday's show. Semifinal matches are scheduled for October 26th and October 27th in Yokohama, Japan, and the final will be played November 2nd in Yokohama. And this Sunny Side of Sports fun fact: the 2002 FIFA World Cup final was also played in Yokohama, Japan. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is www.facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the October 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to producer Daniel Downtown Brown. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Savor the flavor of African music.
Hi,
I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Escape from the humdrum and dance to the beat of an African drum. Hi, I am David Van, host of the Voice of America's African Beat. Splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. Join me Monday through Friday at 0900 and 2000 UTC for a soothing musical jam. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the African Export-Import Bank strives to increase the continent's share in global trade and promote growth. Afrexibank and the future on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for VOA's discussion program, Reporters Roundtable, every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas and take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. So please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to Daybreak.